All right, well, we're there in 1 Kings chapter number 11. And of course, on Wednesday nights, we've been making our way through the book of 1 Kings, and we've been studying this book together. And we took a break from it last week, of course, for Thanksgiving. But if you remember, a couple of weeks ago when we were in 1 Kings, we actually already dealt with the first 8 verses of chapter number 11. And this is the last chapter, really, in Solomon's life. And this is where we see him turn against the Lord. And we're going to see, not this week, but next week when we finish the chapter, it's a long chapter, it's 43 verses, we're going to see that the Lord turns on Solomon. But tonight, we're going to continue to see Solomon go down this road. And we're actually going to begin in verse number 9. We covered verses 1 through 8, like I said last week. So if you look down at verse number 9, the Bible says this, "And the Lord was angry with Solomon." And the Lord was angry with Solomon. Of course, we saw in verses 1 through 8 that Solomon loved many strange women. And the Bible says that his wives turned away his heart. The Bible says that he began to worship other gods. And he began to be part of idolatry. And here the Bible tells us that the Lord got angry. And I think it's interesting, and I think we should make a note of this. And some people like to act like the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament are two different gods, and the God of the Old Testament was angry, and the God of the New Testament is all love. But it's the same God. There's only one God, and there's only one Jesus, and the Bible says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here we see that the Lord, the Bible says, and the Lord was angry. I want you to notice specifically here with Solomon. And I think it's interesting, and I think we should acknowledge the fact that sometimes God can get angry with individuals. And sometimes God can even get angry with believers. It's not just the unsaved or wicked people. But here we see that the Lord was angry with Solomon. And then the Bible tells us why the Lord was angry with Solomon. What I'd like to do tonight is I'd like to just go through a little bit of this passage and just highlight for you some reasons why it is that the Lord was angry with Solomon. And I think it's worth taking note of why the Lord was angry with Solomon, because I think we can learn from that and it can help us keep the Lord from being angry with us. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want the Lord angry with me, and I don't want the Lord turning against me. We're going to see later in the chapter that the Lord turns against Solomon. So I want you to notice 3 reasons why the Lord was angry with Solomon, and they're all highlighted in this passage here. The first reason, again, you'll notice that there in verse 9, the Bible says, "And the Lord was angry with Solomon," and then it says this, "because his heart was turned from the Lord." Because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. So we see that the Lord was angry with Solomon, the Bible says, because his heart was turned from the Lord. This is a phrase that's used multiple times in this passage. And really, when the Bible says here that his heart was turned from the Lord, the idea is that Solomon began to love other things more than he loved the Lord. And if you're taking notes and if you want to write down some thoughts, then here's the first thought, and it is this, that the Lord was angry with Solomon because he loved other things more than God. The Lord was angry with Solomon because he loved other things more than God. And I think we need to understand that the wording here and this idea, it's not just intertwined in this chapter, but it's intertwined in the whole life of Solomon. You know, the Bible makes it clear that the Lord loved Solomon. You're there in 1 Kings chapter 11. If you don't mind, turn back with me just one book into 2 Samuel chapter number 12. And let's look at when the life of Solomon began, when Solomon was born. And I just think it's interesting what the Bible says here about Solomon. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 24. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24. Of course, you know that Solomon's mother was Bathsheba, and there's a whole episode there with David and Bathsheba. But after that was all done, the Bible says in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 24, it says, "And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon." So here we see that they're given this son. Of course, the baby that came out of adultery died, and now Bathsheba is comforted by David. The Lord blesses them with a son. The Bible says she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And then I want you to notice the last part of verse number 24. It says, and the Lord loved him. And the Lord loved him. And I want you to notice that the Bible tells us that the Lord loved Solomon. And this is not only found here in 2 Samuel chapter 12. In Nehemiah, we looked at this verse a couple weeks ago. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read this for you. But if you want to jot it down for your notes, Nehemiah chapter 13. In Nehemiah 13 and verse 26, the Bible says this about Solomon in the book of Nehemiah. It says, did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him who was beloved of his God. Who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. So the Bible highlights this idea that the Lord loved Solomon. The Bible says when he was born that they called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. The Bible tells us in Nehemiah that there was no king like Solomon that was beloved of his God. So we see that the Lord loved Solomon. And let me just take a moment to say this. The Bible highlights that about Solomon, but we know that God is no respecter of persons. And I can say this about you, and I can say this about myself. On the day that you were born, the Lord looked down at you, and the Lord loved you. And aren't you thankful for that? That we have a God that is love, and he loves us, and he cares for us. And here the Bible highlights the fact that the Lord loved Solomon. But not only did the Lord love Solomon, I want you to notice that the Bible and the story of Solomon highlights for us that Solomon loved the Lord as well. Go to 1 Kings chapter number 3. I know we're in 1 Kings 11, but just go to 1 Kings chapter 3 if you don't mind. If you're there in 2 Samuel, just flip back to 1 Kings. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 3. We've been studying the book of 1 Kings, and really up to this point and up to next week when we finish this chapter, it's really just been about the life of Solomon, and it's been a study in the life of Solomon. We'll move on to other things as we continue in 1 Kings. So we already seen these verses, but I just want you to see them again. The Bible highlights that the Lord loves Solomon, and the Bible also highlights that Solomon loved the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 3, notice what it says. It says, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in his statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. So we see here that God says, that the Bible says that Solomon loved the Lord, and the Lord loved him, and he was beloved of his God. So what happened? What happened? Go back to 1 Kings chapter 11, but look at verse number 1. Now, so God highlights that, the Bible highlights that the Lord loves Solomon, and the Lord loves all of us, but it just highlights it in a unique way that the Lord loves Solomon. The Bible tells us that Solomon loved the Lord. Verse number 3, this is in the beginning of his reign. It takes about 20 years. Solomon, we're going to see at the end of this chapter, reigned for 40 years. The first 20 years, he's building the temple and he's serving God. Things are going well. The last 20 years are not good. And this is how it begins to go downhill. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1, notice what the Bible says. Notice the emphasis. The Bible says, but King Solomon loved many strange women. So we're in chapter 3 and verse 3, we're told that Solomon loved the Lord. Now in 1 Kings 11 and verse 1, we're told that Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughters of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites and the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, and the Hittites. Look at verse 2. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Notice what the Bible says. Notice the emphasis. Solomon clave unto these in love. So we see that what happened to Solomon is that his heart was turned away because his love for the Lord began to wane. His love for the Lord began to drift, and therefore his heart began to drift. And this again is highlighted. Notice verse number 3, 1 Kings 11, verse 3. And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Look at verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives Notice the words here, turned away his heart after other gods. Look at verse number 9, 1 Kings 11, verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. But why was his heart turned from the Lord God of Israel? Because his wives turned away his heart, and he began to love these strange women, and that's contrasted with the idea that he loved the Lord. So we see that the Lord was angry with Solomon. Verse 9, and the Lord was angry with Solomon. Why was the Lord angry? Well, number one, I believe that God was angry with Solomon because Solomon, the Bible says, his heart was turned from the Lord. That's why the Lord was angry. But why was his heart turned? It was turned because Solomon began to love other things more than God. He began to love other things more than God. Now, all throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, this is repeated for us, and we are commanded that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul. It's said in different ways and in different passages, but it's our heart and our soul, our might, our being, everything. We're supposed to love the Lord our God with everything. What's interesting to me is that the Bible highlights for us that there are certain things that people, I mean, there could be anything that someone chooses to love more than the Lord, but there's some things the Bible actually tells us that these are things that people commonly love more than the Lord. And I want to just show some of these to you, and let's run some references if you don't mind. It's Bible study night, so I think we should study the Bible and run some references together. Go with me to the book of Matthew if you wouldn't mind. Keep your place there in 1 Kings 11. We're going to come back to it, but go to Matthew chapter number 10, first book in the New Testament. And let's just talk about some things, and specifically three things that people tend to love more than God. Now, we ought not love anything more than God. But see, these are things that the Bible actually highlights that people tend to love more than God. And so we want to be aware of these and we want to be careful with these. And the first one is really the same thing that we see Solomon doing. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Notice what Jesus says. Matthew 10, 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I want you to notice the first thing that the Bible highlights that people tend to love more than God is family and friends and relationships. And isn't that what we see with Solomon? Solomon loved the Lord, and then he began to love many strange women. And here Jesus says that he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And I want you to understand what the Bible says here. The Bible is not saying there's anything wrong with you loving your father and your mother or your son and your daughter. You ought to love people in your lives. If you have family and you have friends and you have fellow church members, we ought to love those people. In fact, we're commanded to love one another all throughout the New Testament. But what God says is you should not love them more than me. And when we allow our friends or families or relationships, Solomon allowed these women to become a priority. See, the truth is this, that you and I can really make an idol out of anything. And if we allow friendships and families and relationships to get between us and God, then we're going to find that our hearts are going to begin to turn away from him. And it's not that God doesn't want you to love your family. Because here's the thing. When you love God, you will love others in the right way and properly. And I think we talked about this, I don't know when we talked about this, a sermon recently. But we talked about how these things align. When we love God, it'll help us to love others properly. But just because we love others, that will not automatically line us up with loving God. You can love your friends and love your family and love your whoever it is that's in your life in such an unhealthy way that it keeps God out and it causes your heart to turn away from God. But when you love God properly, in fact, when you love God completely, in fact, when you give God your whole heart and soul and mind and might, everything else will line up the way it's supposed to. So we see that there are some things that people have the tendency to love more than God. And the first one is this, friends and family. That's what we see with Solomon. He loved many strange women. And it caused his heart to turn away from God. I want you to notice there's a second thing that the Bible seems to highlight, that it's a tendency for us to maybe love more than God. You're there in Matthew. Go to Luke chapter 16, if you wouldn't mind. Matthew, Mark, and then Luke chapter 16. Do me a favor, when you get to Luke, put a bulletin or a bookmark or something there, because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. I want you to get to it quickly. Luke chapter 16. What are things that are a danger that people might begin to love more than God? One is friends and family. But another one, are you there in Luke 16? Look at verse 13. The Bible says, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will, notice the words here, hate the one and love the other. You can't love two different masters. He says, you're either God is the Lord and God is the master and you love him and you're going to hate everything else. And the Bible even talks about it, you know, hating family. I know people misunderstand that passage, and the Bible doesn't teach us to hate our family, but the idea is this, that the love with which we love the Lord is so extreme that everything else pales in comparison. In fact, everything else would seem by comparison like you hate it. And here the Bible says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And then he says this, you cannot serve God and mammon. And the word mammon, of course, is talking about wealth and material things. And this is something that the Bible seems to indicate that people have a problem with loving more than God. Not only friends and family, but also money and possessions. Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. If you can find the T-books, they're all clustered together. 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, 1st Timothy. Keep your place in Luke if you don't mind. We're going to come back to it. But find 1st Timothy chapter 6. I know you know these verses, but let's just look at them together. 1st Timothy chapter 6, look at verse 10. Notice what the Bible highlights with regards to love. 1st Timothy chapter 6. For the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. And again, when we begin to love money, the problem is the tendency that we're going to, if we're going to begin to love money more than we love God, we're going to begin to love mammon more than we love God. It's going to turn away our hearts. And it's going to cause God to be angry with us. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So three things that the Bible highlights that people tend to love more than God. One is friends and family. One is money and possessions. But there's another one. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And the third one is this, just the things of this world in general. The things of this world in general. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 10. 2 Timothy 4:10, the Bible says, for Demas hath forsaken me. Notice the words here about Demas, having loved this present world. And the idea is that he loved the things of the world more than he loved the things of God. And this is something that the Bible indicates that we, if we're not careful, are going to have the tendency to love more than God. What? Our family and our friends. God wants us to love them, but God doesn't want us to put them on a pedestal where they become more important than God does. The love of money. God understands we need money and we need to make money and money is a tool, but we should not love money. It's simply a tool. And then the things of this world. The Bible tells us not to love the things of this world. Demas, the Bible says, hath forsaken me, Paul said, having loved this present world. Why did he forsake Paul and why did he forsake God? Because he loved the things of this world. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. If you go backwards from Revelation, you have Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1 John. Just right there towards the end of the Bible. Revelation, Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. I just want to highlight these things. These are things that God is saying, be careful about loving these things more than God and allowing them to turn away your heart. Friends and family, money and possession, the things of this world. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 15. Notice what the Bible plainly says here. Love not the world. Love not the world. Why? Because when you love the world, you're going to forsake the things of God. Demas hath forsaken me. Why? Having loved this present world. So the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And of course, when we're talking about the world, we're talking about the world system, the world's philosophy, the way the world does things the world values. And then God even explains to us the categories of these things. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If you love the world, it's going to turn your heart from God. He says, if any man love the world, look at it, look at the contrast, the love of the Father is not in him. Say, how can that be? Because you can't love two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or you'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot be double-minded. And when you love God properly, everything else will line up. But when we put other things before God, everything else is going to fall apart. That's what happened with Solomon. And it makes God angry. So the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Notice verse 16. For all that is in the world. And then he tells us, this is all that is in the world. This is all the world has to offer. For all that is in the world. And then he gives us three categories that pretty much sum up everything that's in the world. For all that is in the world, number one, the lust of the flesh. What's that? That's fornication. That's adultery. That's gluttony. That's drunkenness. That's laziness. That's comfort seeking. That's rage and anger. That's anything that indulges the flesh over the spirit is the lust of the flesh. Then he says, number two, the lust of the eyes. What's that? That's materialism. That's covetousness. That's pornography. That's inappropriate images on TV and social media and music and whatever. He says, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And then he says, and the pride of life. What's that? That's being driven for self-achievement and for appearance and for status and for power and recognition and control. And these are the things that the world has to offer. And if we begin to love these things, the love of the Father is not in us. So what happened to Solomon? What made Solomon become someone who God now went from favor. I don't think we could say of any other king that God favored more than Solomon, to now God is angry with Solomon. Why? Number one, because he loved other things more than God. Now, what if you find yourself loving something more than God? What can you do? Well, it's interesting because the Bible talks a lot about this. Let me just quickly, we're going to get back to 1 Kings in a moment, but go to Revelation chapter 2 if you don't mind. Revelation chapter 2. I gave you three things that people love more than God, that have a tendency to love more than God: their friends and family, their money and possessions, their the things of this world. And in the things of this world, we saw three different categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But then just real quickly, let me give you three ways to reignite your love for God and my love for God. Because if you have found yourself with your heart drifting, your love waning, your love for God beginning to run out, you say, what can I do? Well, the Bible tells us. Aren't you thankful the Bible has all the answers? The Bible tells us what to do, and it's outlined in three simple steps. Revelation chapter 2, are you there? Look at verse 4. This is Jesus speaking to the church at Ephesus. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. He said, I have something against you. Now, God said, Solomon, I'm angry with you and I'm against you because you love things more, other things more than me. He loved many strange women and they turned his heart. Here, Jesus says to the church in Ephesus, he says, nevertheless, I have someone against thee. Notice the reason, because thou hast left thy first love. He says, because thou hast left thy first love. So what do you do? Well, notice there's three steps. Verse 5, number one, he says, remember. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. He says, you need to remember how it used to be before you lost your love for God, before you lost the passion for the Lord. John R. Rice wrote a beautiful song. I should have looked it up and got the lyrics for it, and I didn't. It's in our hymn book. But he wrote a beautiful song about let the sun shine again. And it sound at first you think like, what's that about? But if you actually look at the lyrics of the song, he's talking about, in fact, you know, good night. Let me just find it. Does anybody know who? Brother Andrew, you have the whole hymn book memorized, don't you? No, I'm just kidding. Let me find it. If somebody can help me, I might as well just, I should have looked it up. See if I can find it real quickly. 47. Thank you, sir. All right. In fact, just grab your hymn book. Let's look at these words real quickly. Because this is what Jesus says. He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Notice these words that John R. Rice wrote in this song. I remember the time when I first knew the Savior, when the sunlight of blessings so flooded my heart. Oh, the sweetness of first love with Jesus so near me, and I thought such devotion would never depart. But then the second lyric, second stanza says, then how sweet were the scriptures. They spake to me daily, how they guided my steps, and my zeal did not last. And the sweet place of prayer where I met with my Savior, I neglected, and so soon my joys were all past. Oh, I loved well to walk in the way with God's children when we met with glad hearts in a fellowship sweet. But the pull of the flesh and some worldly companions in the paths of sin's pleasures attracted my feet. Lord, I come now again for forgiveness and blessing. As thy penitent child, I am seeking thy peace. For the blood paid my debt, and thy spirit is within me, bids me come to my Father, my wandering to cease. Let the sun shine again. Let the flowers bloom again. Stir the embers of love in my heart. Holy Spirit, reprove. Then embrace me again. Let the sun shine again in my heart. I think we need to remember how it used to be. Jesus says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. He said, remember when you spent time in the Word and when you spent time in prayer. Remember when you used to look forward to coming to church and you used to look forward to spending time with God's people. He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. That's just step number one. Step number two is this, and repent. Repent. The word repent means to have a change of mind, to make a decision and say, I don't want this anymore. I'm tired of the coldness. I'm tired of being backslidden. I'm tired of the worldliness. Let the sun shine again. So number one, he says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Number two, he says, repent. And then number three, the word's not here, but if you want an alliterated point, the idea is to return. Do the first works. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Number one. Number two, repent. And number three, do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. I want you to notice that when the Bible says here, do the first works, the idea here is that, and the Bible teaches this in other places as well, but let me just say this, actions do not follow emotions. It's the other way around. Actions do not follow emotions. See, here's people who think, well, I just, you know, if I can just get God to get me excited about reading the Bible, or if I can just kind of get excited about church attendance, or I can just kind of get excited about soul, it doesn't work that way. You start reading the Bible, and you'll start getting excited about the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You start showing up for soul winning, and you start being faithful to church, and you start spending time in prayer, you'll start getting excited about those things. See, emotions, actions don't follow emotions. Emotions follow actions. So you say, what do I do? You need to remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Go back to those things that you were doing when you were right with the Lord. So we see three things to reignite our love for God. And I think we need to maybe keep those in mind. Because the Lord was angry with Solomon because Solomon allowed some things to become a priority in his life. He began to love other things more than he loved God. Can you go back to 1 Kings chapter 11? 1 Kings chapter 11. We're looking at three things that made the Lord angry with Solomon. The first one was that he loved other things more than he loved God. Don't you notice the second one? It's found there in verse 9 as well. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. Now, we already saw that his heart was turned because his wives turned his heart. And the Bible says about his wives that he loved many strange women. And that's in contrast to the fact that he used to love the Lord, but now he loves these women and they turned his heart away. So we saw that the first reason that the Lord was angry is because he loved other things more than God. Why don't you notice a second reason that the Lord was angry with Solomon? And it's found there at the end of verse number 9. It says, well, let's just read the verse. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the God of Israel. And then notice this little statement here. The Bible says, which had appeared unto him twice. Which had appeared unto him twice. I think the fact that God mentions this, it's something that he's irritated with. And God is irritated with the fact that God didn't just appear to Solomon. He appeared to him twice. I mean, appearing to him once would have been good enough. Most kings in the Bible never had the Lord speak to them. Most kings in all world history never had the Lord speak to them. But the Lord not only appeared to Solomon once, he appeared to Solomon twice. Let's look at it real quickly. If you remember, the first time is the famous time. If you go back to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, remember when Solomon was young and he was humble? 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says in Gibeon, 1 Kings 3, 5, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. Remember, the Lord appears to Solomon and he pretty much gives him a wish. He says, he gives him a blank check. He says, ask whatever you want, I'll give it to you. And if you remember, we saw Solomon as that young, humble man. And he said, I'm a child. He said, I don't know how to go out or how to come in. He said, I need judgment and discernment to be able to judge these great thy people. And God, the Bible tells us, he gave him wisdom and discernment. And then God said, because you didn't ask for riches, because you didn't ask for the life of your enemies, because you didn't ask for wealth and fame, he said, I'm going to give you all that because it pleased me what you asked for. So that's the first time that the Lord appeared to Solomon. That's a famous time. But if you remember, there's a second time the Lord appeared to Solomon. We covered it, but let's look at it real quickly just in case you don't remember it. Go to 1 Kings chapter 9. Remember, after Solomon finished building the temple, this is 20 years later, and we saw that great prayer of dedication from Solomon. And he was praying that God would have mercy upon the people. And he said, Lord, if the people go into captivity, if the people go into judgment, if the people, are, if things are not going well and they look to this temple, if they pray towards this temple, hear their prayers. In 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, and it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, verse 2, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time. And he had appeared unto him at Gibeon, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And what we see is that God didn't just bless Solomon. He personally appeared to him not once, but twice. No other king gets this. Solomon had unmatched opportunity, and he squanders it. So we see that the Lord is angry. Why is he angry? Number one, because he loved other things more than God. But here's the second reason why he's angry. The Lord is angry at Solomon because Solomon was given much and he wasted it. Solomon was given much and he wasted it. Look at the verse again, 1 Kings 11, verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. That was two times more than most kings got. And God had given him opportunity, and God had given him favor, and God had given him blessings, and God had given so much to Solomon, and now Solomon is squandering it, he's wasting it, and it's angering God. And look, this is not just true of Solomon, it's true of all of us. Did you keep your place in Luke? Luke chapter 12, if you don't mind, look at it real quickly. Luke chapter 12, look at verse 47. Luke chapter 12 and verse 47, Matthew, Mark, Luke. See, the Bible teaches that when you've been given much, God expects much. And when we squander it, it upsets him. Luke chapter 12, verse 47, the Bible says this, and the servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But, verse 48, here's the contrast. He that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. Now here, God is explaining to us that when you have two servants who both did wrong, who both did things worthy of stripes, but one had more knowledge than the other, One servant, verse 47, knew his Lord's will. He knew what the Lord wanted him to do. He had received instructions. He knew what he was supposed to do, but he just chose not to. He prepared not himself. The other servant, verse 48, he didn't know what the Lord wanted him to do. He hadn't received instructions. He still did wrong. He's still going to receive stripes. But notice, one will be beaten with many stripes. The other one will be beaten with few stripes. Why is that? Look at the last part of verse 48. For unto whom much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And what the Bible is teaching here is that when you've been given much, God will expect much. And I think that we are seeing that the Lord is angry with Solomon, not just because he loved other things more than he loved God, but because he was given much and he wasted it. And I think about us. I think about how much we've been given. And I think about not just how much we've been given, because I think it's easy to think about how much, you know, oh, we've been given much. But even consider how we've been given much, the areas in which we've been given much. I mean, you and I are New Testament believers. We've been given more than Old Testament saints. I mean, God is angry with Solomon because he had been given much, and he squandered it. But here's the thing. The Bible says, Jesus said that a greater than Solomon is here. And you and I, we didn't have access to Solomon. We have access to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that as New Testament believers, we've been given the Holy Spirit indwelling us? The Old Testament says they didn't have that. From time to time, the Holy Spirit would come upon them, and the Spirit of the Lord would come upon them. And from time to time, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us. But as far as having the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and being sealed with the Holy Spirit, having the Comforter inside of us, which means that we can open up the Bible, which is a spiritual book. It can only be discerned spiritually, and the only reason you can read it and understand it on your own is because the Holy Spirit indwells you and guides you in all things. Do you understand that? The Old Testament says they didn't have that. They didn't have the priesthood of the believer. Solomon didn't have the priesthood of the believer. Solomon wanted, God came to him twice. That was on God's terms. But if Solomon wanted to go to God, Solomon had to go to a temple, which is why he built a temple. He had to go to a priest. He had to go to someone to have access to God. You and I have access to God the Father through the Son and the Holy Spirit of God. We have more ability to understand the Scriptures than other believers ever did throughout world history. Are you reading it? As New Testament believers, we have, not only do we have the Holy Spirit that guides us in the Scriptures, we actually have the completed Scriptures. We have the entire canon of the Word of God. The Bible says that the Old Testament saints, they saw through a glass darkly. They didn't understand how it's all going to play out. They understood that there was a Messiah and that he was coming. And there's passages like Isaiah 53 about the suffering. But they didn't have the whole picture. They didn't know the whole thing. You and I, we've got the whole thing. We don't even have the whole thing. We have the book of Revelation. We know how it all ends. I'm saying to you, as New Testament believers, we've been given a lot. But now let's just take it a step further. Not only as New Testament believers have we been given a lot, let me say this, as American Christians we've been given a lot. I mean, we live in a country where we have the freedom to go, we literally have the freedom to walk down the road and give the gospel to whoever we want. We have the resources, we have the wealth, we have the ability. We've been given a lot. What are we doing with it? As New Testament believers, we've been given a lot. As American Christians, we've been given a lot. But let me take it even a step further. As a member of Verity Baptist Church, you've been given a lot. I mean, and again, I'm not saying this. Look, any great thing about this church falls on you, and praise God for you. But do you understand that you're sitting in a church that is a unique church? And I'm not saying we're the only church, but by and large, if you compare this church to just the average church in this world, you get more scripture, you get more Bible, you get more opportunity, you get more instruction, you just get more than the average place. Now I'm saying to you that we've been given a lot. And the good news is that we've been given a lot. The bad news is this, that whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. I think the Lord was angry with Solomon because he loved other things more than he loved God, and because he was given much and he had wasted it. And here's a question I think we should all ask ourselves is, what are we doing with what we've been given? What are we doing with what we've been given? So I said, number one, the Lord was angry with Solomon because he loved other things. Number two, the Lord was angry with Solomon because he was given much and he had wasted it. Let me give you a third thought this evening. You're there in 1 Kings chapter 11, or if you can get to 1 Kings chapter 11, look down at verse number 10. Notice what the Bible says here. In 1 Kings chapter 11, we've looked at verse 9 thoroughly, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which he had appeared unto him twice. Then look at verse 10. And had commanded him concerning this thing. And had commanded him concerning this thing. See, here's the thing about the Lord appearing to Solomon twice. Is that it's not just that the Lord appeared to Solomon twice. Is that the second time that the Lord appeared to Solomon, the Lord spoke to Solomon about this exact thing. What's happening in Solomon's life. Let's look at it just real quickly. Can you go back to 1 Kings 9? Look at verse 6. Remember what we saw in 1 Kings 9? Solomon finished the temple. He prays his prayer of dedication. The Lord appears unto him. Look at verse 6. This is the Lord speaking to Solomon. The second time he appeared to him, 1 Kings chapter 9. Look at verse 6. 1 Kings 9, 6. The Bible says, but if ye shall at all, this is God speaking to Solomon, but if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them. And this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all the people. And at this house which is high, everyone that passes by it shall be astonished and shall hiss, and they shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? Notice verse 9. And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. See, the reason the Lord was angry is not just because Solomon had been given much, although Solomon had been given much, but the Lord had actually addressed this very thing. Look at 1 Kings 11, 10 again. And he commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded him. Why was God angry with Solomon? Number one, because he loved other things more than God. Number two, because he was given much and he wasted it. Number three, because he should have known better. Because he should have known better. God had already told Solomon. You know, the funny thing is that we saw this all the way in Deuteronomy, hundreds of years before Solomon lived. Moses already told Solomon, right? Moses already told the kings of Israel, don't multiply wives, don't multiply horses, don't multiply gold. What does Solomon do? He multiplies wives, he multiplies horses, he multiplies gold. Then God appears to Solomon and says, let me warn you about something. Don't worship other gods. And what does Solomon do? He worships other gods. Why is God angry? God's angry because Solomon should have known better. But the truth is this, so should we. The Bible says in James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sometimes you look at people, you look at situations, and you think to yourself, sometimes you watch people. You know, as a pastor, the Bible says that my job is to be vigilant. And sometimes we watch people and situations. And so often I think to myself, we all know how this is going to end. I mean, just watching the situation unfold and watching people make decisions and make bad decisions, and they're prioritizing this and they're prioritizing that, and they're prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And I think to myself, everybody knows how this is going to end. The thing is, if we're honest with ourselves, you and I in our hearts know how this is going to end. And the Lord is angry with Solomon, because he should have known better. because the Lord had commanded him concerning this very thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. So when we know to do good, let's just do it. Right? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we see that the Lord is angry with Solomon. Now let me just real quickly, I want to cover a few verses here. Because it's not all bad news. The Lord does show some mercy to Solomon. But it's not because of Solomon. Notice verse number 11, 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 11. 1 Kings 11, 11, the Bible says, "Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, and have which I have commanded thee." Notice the last part of verse 11. He says, "I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and I will give it to thy servant." And what we're going to see unfold in the next few chapters is that the kingdom is going to be divided. The nation of Israel will not be a united kingdom anymore. It'll be divided into two separate kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah, and it happens because of Solomon. It doesn't happen on Solomon's watch, but it happens because of Solomon. The Bible says, "I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant." Look at verse 12. "Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David." And there's an emphasis in this chapter, and I'm not going to take the time to develop it all, but there's an emphasis here about David and his fatherhood. He says, "I will not do it for David, thy father's sake." Now, here's what's interesting about David is that we give David a hard time for being a pretty bad dad. And don't misunderstand me, David was not a great dad. David was a great, lots of other things. And the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. But he was not a very good dad. And we tend to pick on him. I'm talking about preachers and whatever. But there are some positive things said here about David's fatherhood. I just want you to notice it. Verse 12. Well, last part of verse 11. God tells Solomon, "I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servants." Verse 12. "Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it." So he said, I'm going to rend the kingdom from you, but I'm not going to do it, Solomon, during your lifetime. And he says, but it's not because of you, Solomon. He said, "I will not do it for David, thy father's sake." Now, here's what's interesting. If you're not paying attention, you may miss it, but there's an emphasis here on Father's Day, and I realize it's not Father's Day, it's not even close to June, it's Christmas, but it's just the passage we're in, so let me just preach to the fathers for a second. He says, "I will not do it for David thy father's sake," and then he says this, "but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son." Now we know that's Rehoboam, and that happens in the next chapter. Here's what's interesting to me, is that this verse highlights that a father, David, can either set up his children for success, or a father, Solomon, can set up his children for failure. Solomon was a failure, but God said, "I'm going to show mercy on you, not because of you, Solomon, but because of your father, David." But then in the same breath, God says, "I'm going to render it out of thy son." So Rehoboam did not get from Solomon what Solomon got from David. Right. Solomon was a failure, and God showed mercy because of David, his father. Rehoboam ended up being a failure too, but before Rehoboam even got a chance, his father set him up for failure. And I think it's just an interesting thought that we should consider, and it is this, that a man's decisions ripple throughout the generations, for either good or bad. And David had his issues, no doubt about it. But there was something about David that the Lord loved. And I think it was that though David had his issues, there's no doubt about the fact that David loved the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 11, look at verse 13. God says, "Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom." So God just got done saying, "Solomon, you're going to get some mercy from me, but it has nothing to do with you. It's because of David, your father. And your son is not going to get any mercy, and it's because of you." Because of his father, Solomon. But then there's even a light here for grandfathers. Because then God says, there's even a little bit of mercy that Rehoboam will receive, not because of Solomon, but because of his grandfather David. Look at verse 13. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom. He said, I'm going to take the kingdom, but I'm not going to take all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to thy son. He said, I'm not going to rend the entire kingdom from Rehoboam. I'm going to give him one tribe. But he says, here's why. For David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I've chosen. So we see even a grandfather's influence. And even the goodness of that was showed to Solomon's son, Rehoboam, was because of David. Because God says, I will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake. Can we just run a couple of verses and we'll be done? Psalm 103. If you open up your Bible, just right in the center, you're more than likely to find the book of Psalms. Psalm 103. So let this be a challenge to all of us fathers, but let me just say this. If it's true of fathers, it's true of mothers as well. Our decisions will influence others, will affect others, will help others or hinder others. We don't live on an island. We don't live unto ourselves. Psalm 103, verse 17, the Bible says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon, notice how it's worded, upon them that fear him and his righteousness. So the Bible is saying here that the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Now, from everlasting to everlasting is describing the mercy of the Lord. The subject is the mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord is parenthetical statement from everlasting to everlasting, but then it says upon them that fear him. So the mercy of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and it's also on his righteousness, notice, unto children's children. So the Bible says that when we fear the Lord, his mercy is upon us and our righteousness, and it can influence even unto children's children. Rehoboam ended up being a failure too. We'll see that in the next chapter. But any goodness that came to Rehoboam's life, it came because of David. And the only reason that Solomon didn't lose the temple, didn't lose the kingdom completely, was because of David. And David had his issues. But it teaches us something, that we're influencing generations. Look, when you and I make decisions, we're not just influencing our children, we're influencing our grandchildren, possibly our great-grandchildren. You're there in Psalms, go to Proverbs chapter 20, last place we'll look at, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. Proverbs 20, verse 7, the Bible says, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So we see that we can have an influence on others. And we can have a positive influence or a negative influence. And look, like I said, if it's true of fathers, it's true of mothers. But let me just say this. If it's true of, I think it's true of all of us. We're having an effect and an influence. We're encouraging others or discouraging others. We're helping others or hindering others. We're pushing people along, or we're being a stumbling block to them. Our actions will affect other people. So let's make sure we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And I know that's easier said than done. But let's be watching for that, making sure we're not allowing things to steal us away from God. And if we need to remember how it used to be and repent and return to the first works, then let's do that. And let's not only make sure that we're loving God properly, but let's make sure we're not wasting what God has given us. Because we've been given a lot. We have a lot of opportunity, a lot of resources, a lot of blessings, a lot of freedom. Because the truth is this, that Solomon should have known better, and so should we. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. And Lord, we just thank you for these stories. These stories, the Bible tells us, are an ensample for us. And help us, Lord, to learn it, to learn from it. We can learn from Solomon. We can learn from Solomon when he was doing good, and we can learn from Solomon when he was not doing good. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to learn those lessons and help us to apply them in our lives wherever we need to. In the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.